Our next guest, longtime reporter in Columbus between the Dispatch and now, of course, you love him on The Athletic, theathletic.com. He's Aaron Portsline. Ports, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. Can you feel the angst emanating from Toronto all the way in Calgary yet today?
Yeah, it's tight. I can barely focus, honest. I don't know. I might take a cab home because I'm so rattled. I may not be able to focus. It's really,
a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really is. I think we were talking to you a number of weeks ago, and it may have been around the time that Pierre-Luc Dubois was traded to Winnipeg in exchange for Patrick Laine, or maybe it was beyond that, wondering about Laine. And that will come up again today. But you had an article over the course of, it came out yesterday, Blue Jackets likely to trade Seth Jones without contract extension. Now, this is maybe not shocking, but he's got a letter on his chest. He is a high draft pick. He's been there a long time. And the news that he would want to test free agency, I guess, isn't really news, but it's a big star. It's another star for the Blue Jackets, I guess, that while he's not saying trade me now, he's just saying I'm not going to re-sign here. Is that fair? I guess, can you kind of just characterize the conversations that you've had?
Yeah, so that is the report by Elliot Friedman. Pat Brisson, who is Seth Jones' agent, will not confirm that. The Blue Jackets have essentially, by their words, and they won't get into the specifics of the conversation, but from their words, we can safely say that, yes, they have been informed by Seth Jones that he, at this juncture, does not plan to sign with them. What was interesting about the story that you just cited is 3 weeks ago, Jarmo Kekalainen made it clear that he was willing to take Seth Jones into next season unsigned to an extension and see if he might change his mind as the year moves along. Now, we've heard this before in Columbus. Artemi Panarin, Sergei Bobrovsky, they did the same thing with those two guys in 2019. Now, John Davidson, a good Albertan boy, has come back to the Blue Jackets organization, and that approach now has changed. And Davidson's point, articulated well in that article, this is not 2019 anymore. This is not a team that has a chance to, in his words, go for it, meaning the Stanley Cup. And so there's just no way they can risk letting a player like Seth Jones walk as an unrestricted free agent. His trade value likely diminishes if they carry him into the final year of his UFA. So he's likely to be moved this summer unless there's a change of heart by Seth Jones, unless some miracle, I would think it takes at this point, happens and he says, you know what, I do want to stay in Columbus long term. Let's get something done.
Now, I know in the past that there'd be hurt feelings. I think that we maybe saw some of that with Dubois, or at least maybe the way he went around it. Certainly Jeff Carter, it did not end there well with him. Is it different now because basically Seth Jones said, look, I've been here for 6 years. I have another year. I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to be a free agent. It doesn't make him a bad human or a bad guy. Is it at all different in that sense?
Well, I mean, is this situation different than Jeff Carter? It's worlds different. What Seth Jones is doing, the greatest favor he could do this organization is to say, I'd love to sign with you long-term. Let's get this thing going. Let me stem the tide of players leaving Columbus. Let it begin with me. That would be the best thing. The next best thing is what he's doing, making it clear to them that this is where I stand a year out. Now you can respond accordingly. I think that is so much better than a player who says, I'm not really sure, mamby-pamby, but really in his heart of hearts knows what he wants. Seth Jones is likely to test free agency in 2022. That is 100% his right by the CBA, and I dare say the kid's done them a favor this early in the summer by making it clear that is his plan.
Aaron Portsline of The Athletic, our guest here on Sportsnet 960. Ryan?
So I agree with you, Aaron. I think the first, you know, gut reaction is probably like, oh, again, here we go. But it really isn't again, because you didn't have a chance to recoup any assets for Bobrovsky and Panarin, or at least you chose not to.
Correct.
But that said, it's still a bit of, there's got to be some bruised ego or, you know, a bit of a psyche issue amongst Blue Jackets fans, doesn't there?
Well, no question. No question. The easiest thing to do is to lump all of these players together and say, nobody wants to be here. And that is, I'll acknowledge, that's what it looks like, the view from 500 feet. Now, I think certainly a person in my chair has a responsibility to go player by player with these. Panarin dreamed of playing for the New York Rangers, biggest market, biggest stage in the world. That's what he wanted. Bobrovsky left the Blue Jackets. They didn't want to make him the highest paid goalie in the league. I may point out at this point, that's an absolutely wonderful decision, given what that looks like now. Five more years on Bobrovsky's contract. He turns 33 before next season. He's no more than the third best goalie in that organization, at least when the season ended. Matt Duchene was acquired. He was a pure rental. And they did not offer him a contract before he went to Nashville. Everybody knew he wanted to go to Nashville. He wants to be a musician and a hockey player. That's great. So each of these you look at, and now Dubois, he wanted out, and he has not said why. He has not said why. Things got really sour with Josh Anderson. That's not a good look either. They survived that early wave of defection. They did not survive losing Anderson and Dubois. You can't take 2 6-foot-3, 220-pound forwards out of your lineup and expect to play the same way. They have a reputation right now, and Seth Jones's desire to test free agency does not help that in any way. And I think that's a big reason why nobody wants to say it, but I think the plan in Columbus is looking at a pretty complete rebuild, because I think Patrick Laine may be on the move as well this summer.
Wow. Okay, so you've got Laine potentially. We know they've got a really deep system of netminders. Tarasov, a guy that's highly touted. There was sort of a thought that maybe they had Korpisalo and or Merzlikins available. Now this, I mean, it does set up the summer for a major blockbuster too, doesn't it?
Oh, I've been telling my wife doesn't want to hear it anymore, but I've been telling her there are like seven issues in Columbus that in a normal summer would alone be the big blockbuster deal. I mean, John Davidson coming back to the organization rocked the foundation of this place again. What do they do with Seth Jones? They're going to trade a goalie. Hell, they're hiring a coach right now. We haven't even talked about that. John Tortorella's left the organization. They're hiring a coach. What do they do with Laine? They've got three first-round draft picks, and until this, I don't know how the Seth Jones situation changes things. They were willing to be very aggressive with those draft picks, especially their late first-round picks, in acquiring immediate help. I think the timeline's been slowed a bit now, where the urgency to do things is not quite by next fall. They can maybe take some time with this, but it's going to be a crazy summer.
Would Max Domi's name fall in there too somewhere, or do you expect him to maybe be a bit of a different player with Tortorella gone?
Well, I think he's one of the players you look at and wonder what it may look like with a different coach, for sure, a different system, absolutely. You know, it must be said, Max Domi played much better the last month or 6 weeks of the season than he did the first couple of months of the season. He was, at best, invisible the first couple of months of his best games are when you didn't notice him. He had some other games where you couldn't help but notice him, how poor he was the first 2 months of the season. He finished the season pretty damn strong, looked like a playmaking centerman. The defensive problems with him are what kept him out of the middle early, but he looked like a different player to me at the end of the season. And I think there's a chance for that to continue under a different coach.
I feel for a few guys, and look, Tortorella, we all know what he is, right? He's unfailing, he's unforgiving in the way that he does business. And on one hand, you look at maybe Domi or like Patrick Laine, because I do want to ask you about Laine, at the same so he's playing reduced minutes, fourth line, sitting for periods at a time. Tough to contribute when your playing minutes have gone down that much. But he didn't really deserve it. The giveaways and the mistakes were glaring at times. He had 10 goals in 45 games. He was not good in whatever minutes he got. What did you see with Line A, and what do you expect? You talk about a trade. Expand on Line A a bit from this season and moving forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the easiest thing in the world to do is say that Tortorella is the reason Line A didn't play well. I think you could certainly look at the Blue Jackets roster, throw your hands up and say, where are the centers? Who's this guy supposed to play with? But you couldn't watch him night in, night out, and say that that's a guy who was busting his ass to do everything he could. His shortcomings were not the finer points of not having a guy on his line to play with. He just wasn't there a lot of nights, and the body language was just atrocious, to the point where I think there are players in that room that would trade him if they could. I think there's just an enormous amount of frustration there. He's an RFA. There are 2 years of RFA left. I don't see any scenario in which he signs a long-term contract in Columbus. I think, if anything, if he's not traded, my hunch is it's a one-year contract and they punt it to next season. He has arbitration rights. This might not be the best season to go to arbitration if you're him, 10 goals in 46 games, as you mentioned. But that you know, the question for me is, can they get him going? B, how long is it going to take them to get a centerman that can bring life to his game if that's what he's waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
That could be a while. I won't be surprised at all if he's moved this summer.
A one-year deal would make a bit of sense, though, wouldn't it, for the team to perhaps recoup more in a trade, and certainly for him to boost his value going into the next contract? Because he doesn't have a whole lot of bargaining power right now. You're right. You may as well not be have arbitration rights. You're coming off a 10-goal season. You're not in a position of power. That's it. And
on the decline.
Yeah.
Since big numbers early. Yeah.
And Merzlikin's the guy. You think it's Korpisalo on the move?
You know, it's hard for me to say. And the way it was articulated to me by Jarmo Kekalainen was, if the disparity in the trade return is greater than what they feel is the disparity in the play, then it could impact who they trade. I'm on record. I'll say it again. I think trading Elvis Merzlikin would be one of the biggest mistakes this franchise has made. And they, by the way, have made a lot of mistakes through the years. That kid aspires to greatness. That kid has a personality that draws cameras. The crowd loves him. This is to say nothing against Kekalainen. Very good goalie. Really good goalie. I think he could play really well with another team when he starts to get regular playing time again. But I can't imagine a scenario in which Elvis Merzlikin is the goaltender that they trade, given what this team needs, not just in goalie play, but in marketability as well.
I loved the last little stretch for him. I'm going to shoot on net, talking to Tortorella, telling me he's going to go for a goal, and just coming out and basically saying how disappointed and upset he was about the losing. From here, you could see that there's some real personality and character in that guy.
And you know what it is? I know personality offends many hockey fans. The idea of it, the idea of an individual standing out, he does it in a way that I think even his teammates have warmed to. There's a lot built up about this kid before he came over from Latvia, or from Switzerland. He's a Latvian born. But everything he says and everything he does is done through the prism of a team. He wants the team to succeed. The Blue Jackets drafted him. They've got a roster. They've got players on this roster through the years who have tried desperately to get out of town. Elvis Merzlikin wants to be here, wants to elevate the Blue Jackets. He's a hell of a talented goalie. That's a guy I can't imagine them cutting bait with him.
And one of the other things there, of the was seven you told your wife, I guess the draft lottery would be in there as well. Columbus with the fifth best odds going in.
Yeah, that's Wednesday.
That's Wednesday.
You know what's interesting is, this is the 14th time the Blue Jackets have been in it. And they've never won the lottery. Not once have they won the lottery. Only once have they moved up in the lottery. Just one spot, 2016. I've got some mathematicians through the great social media source that is Twitter. I found some graduate-level statisticians who figured out for me that the chances of the Blue Jackets having won a lottery to this point is over 80%, and they've never done it.
Yeah.
And no, they're so due.
Here it is. Wednesday.
Yeah, they are due. And just the one first overall, Rick Nash in 02, right?
Well, they didn't even win that one. If you remember, they were third overall, and Doug McClain, maybe his best move as Blue Jackets GM, worked his way up from 3-1 in a three-way trade with, I believe, Atlanta and Tampa Bay.
Is that right? Yeah, probably would if I jog my memory on that. But again,
won the number one pick.
A 6 and a 6 and a 7 and a 6. It doesn't excuse them, right? It's not an excuse. And the one year they had the second overall pick, it was really just that was the Ryan Murray draft, right? When Yakupov goes at one, you look back now and some good players in there, but it's not as though you had a huge talent waiting for you at number two necessarily either. Well, I mean, good to talk to you, man. I appreciate always good to catch up with you. And in some ways, when you miss the playoffs, it can become exciting in time for the fan base.
Sure.
But it is a lot. You're going to be busy there.
Yeah, I have a feeling we'll be talking again.
Yeah, good enough, man. Thanks for your time. Take care.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks.